Prepared to have another selection, and then we'll be prepared. for your marvelous words of just raising us up on this day.
Oh, thank you.
Putting the breath of life down on the inside of these bodies.
Oh, yeah.
And have joined in this location. Oh, Lord, to be revived.
Oh, yeah.
One more time.
One more time.
God, in situations like this, we thank you for the vessel coming.
Yes, yes, Lord.
That will impart the word into our heart.
Yes, God.
That will shake us, God, and move us, God, towards righteousness.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Lord, stir up in this house.
Do now, do now.
Move up and down the alleys, God.
Uh-huh.
Have your way, God.
Do, Lord, do, Lord.
For we understand that you are in control.
Oh, yes, Lord.
We thank you for your son, Jesus.
Thank you.
Who sat at your right hand, making intercession for us.
Thank you, Lord.
God, ignite us, God, after this is all over, God, to go out, God, of these moral walls, God, and bring someone into the house of the Lord, that they may know you, God, as Lord and Savior. Father, we pray for the man of God. We pray for his family, God, as he labors, God, in your word, God. Oh, God, be a protection over his household.
Yes.
Be a protection over the ministries that you have given him.
Yes.
And oh, God, we pray for the prayer of this house, God.
Yes. Oh.
Continue to keep him.
Do now.
And his family in your care.
Oh, yeah.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Oh, God, we expect, God, because we come with expectation,
yes,
God,
we do,
that you're going to move, God,
yeah,
like
never
before. Continue to bless this choir, God.
Yes, Lord.
Every voice, God,
touch
that
it.
Send praises up to you.
Touch them,
because we know when the praises go up, the blessings come down.
Thank you.
Now, God, release, God, your anointing again.
Yes.
Oh, God, that we may be in the state in times like these, God.
Yes, Lord.
It's in your blessed Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We pray. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Yeah. receive power
mm-hmm.
after the Holy Ghost is come on.
Oh, yeah.
When you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Let's now prepare for selection from the choir. Then we'll be prepared for giving our offering. Then we will have a presentation of our next preacher. And then we'll be able to hear from heaven. And then we'll exit the church and remain practical Christians. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Glory, hallelujah.
this year that we are given that grudging or necessity for God loves a cheerful giver.
Amen.
In order to support revival, we ask that all our members to give about $25 in support of our revival. You all are doing an outstanding job here in our church. Our members are going above and beyond. And I am so proud of John Shopee and the church members. Amen?
Amen.
You all are here each night doing our revival. And I say thank you all, amen, for your kindness and for your dedication. Amen. And your faithfulness.
Mm-hmm.
Let us make sure we prepare our giving. Yes, each member to give 25. That's in our gifts to give as the Lord lays upon your heart to give. You can give to give a five. Give to give a five, or you can give to PayPal. Give a five. Find one of the bulletins. Amen. There is John Shepherd LB Church. Give a five. John Shepherd LB Church. PayPal. John Shepherd African Methodist Church. And you're able to give. At this time, as you stand, Father, the choir preparing to give us a lesson of choice. Let us follow the leash from our ushers. Let us come and sit down. You're coming. Let's come and kneel. We have great reason for necessity. God loves and to forgive.
Oh God, may this giving be used to build precious son, Jesus' name. Amen.
One more time.
And I love them preaching.
thank God for his mercy, his kindness, his love, and his marvelous grace.
Oh, yeah.
For allowing us to assemble ourselves again.
One more time.
This house of worship. Thank Pastor White again for allowing me to share with you this. We thank you for your presence. Thank all the ministers who share this moment with us, those in COVID, Griffin, is that you, Dr. King?
Yeah.
All others. I had cataract surgery. Sometimes I can see and sometimes I can't. All of you. Tonight I want to go again to the Old Testament. If you haven't figured it out yet, I am by nature an Old Testament preacher.
All right.
The second book of the Bible, the book of Exodus, chapter 3. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, led the flock to the backside of the desert, came to the mountain of God, even unto Horeb. Angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked and behold, the bush burned with fire. Bush was not consumed. Moses said, I will not turn aside, see this great sight. Why the bush is not burned? And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him out of the midst of the bush, said, Moses, Moses. He said, here am I. And God said, do not draw nigh, take off thy shoes from the place that thou standest on this holy ground. For I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Moses hid his face. He was afraid to look upon God. Mm-hmm. And then God said, I have surely seen the afflictions of my people, which are in Egypt. I have heard that cry by reason of that taskmaster, for I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them. And then in verse 14, God says, I am.
Yes.
That I am.
Mm-hmm.
From that story tucked away in pages of the Old Testament, I want to talk about a revealing encounter with God.
Amen.
A revealed encounter with God. William Cowper, English poet, wrote, God moves in mysterious ways. His wonders to perform, he plants his footsteps on the sea. He rides on every storm. What Kuiper is really saying in the lyrics of that hymn is that sometimes it is in the midst of our difficulties that we discover divinity. Andre Crouch said it this way, if I had never had a then I would not know that God could solve them. And I would never know what faith in God can do.
Oh, yeah.
In a perfect world, we would come to know God in the beauty of his holiness and in the holiness of his beauty, but beloved, I hate to rain on your parade. We are not in a perfect world.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
We are imperfect people.
Yeah.
And we have damaged and corrupted the perfect world that God created. So we've got imperfect people in an imperfect situation trying to conceive and conceptualize the perfect God. And he gives us trouble.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
We wrestle with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sometimes we cry out with Job, oh, that I knew where I could find him.
Yes, sir.
Then I would honor my case before him.
Uh-huh.
Now don't go holy over me. Each one of us has had that moment in our life when we really wanted to honor with God.
Yeah.
I know you can't say that at church, no folks tell you you need more Jesus. No, I don't need more Jesus, I need some understanding.
All right. Great.
Life drops us off in situations where we feel that God has left us and God has abandoned us, and in spite of how hard we cry and how long we pray, it appears like that God has put us on hold. Or at best allowed us to leave a voice message that he never returned. That's what we find here when we encounter this character. We know it as Moses. You know Moses.
Amen.
Amram and Jochebed's son, Miriam and Aaron's brother, Zipporah's husband. This fellow who will become a liberator.
All right.
Who has been forced to flee Egypt and has spent the last 40 years hiding on the backside of a mountain called Horeb, not far from present day Gaza, in a rugged territory, living a life of isolation, frustration, and humiliation. He's not there by choice.
All right.
There are a lot of other questions he would have preferred to have been, but sometimes we have to go where life sends us.
Amen.
And sometimes we dropped off into places that was really not on our itinerary. Yeah. Ruben, I remember when I first started flying and really didn't have the money to fly, and I'd have to get the cheap seats, get to hook up with somebody who had a buddy package. And I'd be flying out to California or somewhere, and they'd take me from Dothan to Atlanta, from Atlanta to Charlotte, from Charlotte to Cincinnati, from Cincinnati to Salt Lake City. And sometimes when you go to visit anybody else, I got there 2 days early before I got there. Because somehow I had to go some places that I really didn't want to go. Now maybe that's not happened to you. Maybe you've been special. Maybe you are the exception. But most of us in our life have found ourselves sometimes in some places that were not on our bucket list. Here Moses is on the backside, horrid, isolated, frustrated, and humiliated. But it's there that he has a revealing encounter with God.
Oh, yeah.
God shows up in miserable situations in order for us to see his majesty. God shows up sometimes in terrible situations in order for us to recognize that he is triumphant.
Yeah.
A couple of phrases here. That's revealed here in chapter 3. When God encounters this man. In the desert of Horeb, first thing God does, he reveals his presence.
Oh, yeah.
Reveals his presence. You go through the Old Testament in particular, God is constantly having to reveal his presence to folk. Even folk who you would think ought to already know he's with them. But God has to do something to remind them that even though you're lonely, you're not alone. He has to do it with Abraham. He does it in Isaac. He had to do it the hard way with Jacob, because Jacob was a slow learner. After sleeping on the hard ground all night long with a rock called pillar, Jacob wakes up and says, "Surely the Lord was in this place, and I didn't know it." Sometimes we are in the presence of God, but totally unaware of it. God has to reveal his presence to us. You look back after all that we had to experience in the last 5 years in this post-COVID environment, the mere fact that we are still here is evident of the fact that God has been with us. Sometimes he didn't know he was there. But he's been with us. Moses is here, cut off from family, cut off from his heritage, cut off from his history, cut off from everything that he has been familiar with. Yet God has to tap him on the shoulder and says, you ran away from Pharaoh, but you didn't get away from me.
All right.
Here's a nugget that's in here, and I'm going to give you this one for free, because when you start reading it, he says he has married a woman whose father, Jethro, is a priest of Midian. And when you go into the text, the story of the Exodus, you discover that Jethro is a priest of the Most High God. That here was a man on the backside of nowhere that we knew nothing about, who about God. Now there's some folk out here that you are dealing with that you didn't know knew God. He's fallen into routine. God has to interrupt his routine. For 40 years he's been out there leading sheep to pasture every morning and every evening. God says, okay, I'm going to show up and reveal my presence to you in your regular routine. See, sometimes we don't grasp the presence of God, because we get blinded by our routine. But God is with us in our regular routine. You got a routine in the morning. You get up and you sit on the side of the bed at the old time. You sit down for a few minutes before you decide to get up. 20 years ago, I would just hop up, and now I have to sit down for a few minutes to make sure I can get up out of my routine. But God is with me in my routine. Because he's been there 40 years, didn't know I was the one. Gave him this job. I was the one who orchestrated everything, but I got to break into his routine. So he gets up one morning and he goes by. And the Bible says on his way out, he passes by a bush. And the bush bushes. But
yes,
that's not the first time you've seen that happen. Because in the Sinai desert, it's not unusual for bushes to catch on fire in the desert. Because in that morning, Pastor Fly sees Bush burning, says, been that done that, got to teach me. Goes about his regular routine. But when he comes back, he discovers, wait a minute, that bush that was burning this morning, it's still there. But the problem is, it ain't burning. The environment has set it on fire. But something has kept it from burning up. The environment set it on fire. But something kept it from burning up. Set it on time. You might get it. The environment set it on fire. But something kept it from burning up. United States of America, there are a whole lot of things that have set me on fire, but somehow, in spite of it all, I have not been consumed. Now, I don't want you to see everybody. There's somebody here who can look at my life and my daily routine, month after month, week after week, year after year, I have some stuff that has set me on fire.
I want you to respect me and honor me
and show reverence for you. Take your shoes off.
Oh, yeah.
While you're standing on this holy ground, you need to have a sense of the sacred, a sense of the holy, a sense of something that is all together. Oh,
yeah.
When you start doing that, then I can reveal something else to you. Now, that's really too much in here for one night. I revealed my presence. But then when you get down there, he says, now that I've got your attention, I've revealed my presence, you know, I'm with you. I'm going to reveal my purpose.
All right.
He says, because see, everything has been happens for a purpose.
Amen.
As a person of faith, and if you are a person of faith, you've got to recognize that the events of our life are not shaped by serendipity. They are not random.
All right.
But know that they are part of a divine ordained plan. But somehow, in the midst of everything, there is a purpose. And Paul puts it this way, that all things will work together for good for those who love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. Now, you got to underline that he's not going to tell you that everything that happens is good.
All right, now.
That's a key theology.
Yes,
No. But he says it will work together for good. You can't even understand it when it's happening. Here God said it this way, that life has to be lived from beginning to end, but it can only be understood from end to beginning. What he's saying is, I can't make sense out of it when I'm going through it, but when I get on the other side of it and I look back over it, then it makes some sense to me. And God said, all this, everything that has happened has been for a purpose. Ever since your mama sent you floating down the Nile in a cradle made out of reeds, everything in your life has been according to a purpose. I set it up and I placed it that way. I put Pharaoh's daughter there. I put her there so she would fish you out so I could fish you up.
Come down here.
Mention him.
met you in the midst of your frustration, your humiliation, your isolation, to tell you that I'm going to use you.
All right.
And I'm going to use you in spite of you.
All right.
I know you don't talk plain. I know you get mad and drop of a hat.
Well,
I know you're subject to cuss and go off on folk.
Yeah.
And they rub you this wrong way.
Yeah.
And they push all your buttons, you might even kill one or two of them. I'm going to use you in spite of you. And I shout material here because that's a good telling folks every Sunday morning in church that I don't care, regardless of what you have done in the past, regardless how messed up you are now, God has revealed his presence with you and he has a purpose for your life and he will use you in spite of you.
Go to the next chapter to get all those objections, but leave a word after that. I want to get out of here. I was a little boy. Preacher ended up just saw my grandmama to break off on me. Getting late in the evening and the sun going down. That's church talk for you. You need to bring it to me. Here in chapter 3, God reveals his presence in the burning bush. He reveals his purpose in outlining his plan of liberation. But then as we move toward the closing part of that chapter, God reveals his person.
Yeah.
He reveals to Moses the nature of his personality.
Yeah.
He starts out by saying, Lord, let me introduce myself to you. I am the God of your fathers. I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac. I am the God of Jacob. Now there's a lot of preaching in that, wasn't there? Because you see, when he says he's the God of Abraham, Abraham was the father of the faithful. Abraham was a man that the Old Testament calls a friend of God. He was a pretty good fellow.
Yeah.
So when God says, I'm the God of Abraham, he's the God of those folk who are faithful. But then he says, I'm also the God of Isaac. Isaac is an overlooked character in the Bible. Ask any of these preachers in here. How many sermons they got on Isaac? Oh, they can preach about Abraham. And they can preach about Jacob. But the only time you want to preach about Isaac is when he's with Abraham. Or he's with Jacob. We don't ever want to preach about Isaac by himself. Because see, Isaac is like that middle child. I got any folk deal with a middle child? Don't raise your hand. If you're a middle child. See, in my house, we got tons of pictures of my oldest son and my first grandchild. There are pictures of everywhere.
Yeah.
On the walls, on the television, on the piano, a whole album of them. Their baby shoes have been cast in bronze. But that's not the most. We ain't got no pictures of him. Sometimes he walks through town and says, where are my pictures? I have to say, I don't know. They gave him a box somewhere. It's easy to be overlooked. Isaac is just that ordinary guy who gets up and does the best he can in the situation he finds himself in. But God said, I'm not only the God of the faithful Abraham, but I'm also the God of the overlooked Isaac. And I'm going to read this in here this evening. Is there anybody here who's glad that he's the God of Isaac? And he said, but I'm also the God. know the center. I don't know all about that. I heard Mama them talk about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And if I go down there and start talking to religious folks, they gonna need to know a little more than that. And I never studied theology. They gonna ask me, what is your name? And I'm gonna have to reveal to them something about your personhood. And he says, now I've been called a lot of things. I've been called Ananias. I've been called El Shaddai. I've been called Jehovah Nissi. I've been called Jehovah Shalom. I've been called Jehovah Rapha. I've been called Jehovah Roy. But when you get down there, just tell them the I am that I am sent you. What you mean by that? I am whatever I need to be in order to make you all that you ought to be. I am what you need me to be. Can I get a witness in there? Anybody here who has experienced the revelation of who he really is?
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Pastor Soul, always good to hear you. Amen.
Yeah.
A sermon about a fig tree growing in the vineyard.
And I had talked about cross-pollinization. And when he was over, he came and said he didn't mention cross-contamination. And I went back and added that into the sermon. And I really appreciate that. If I'm anything as a preacher, it was because I grew up around preachers who always were giving me something else to add.
Yes, sir.
I remember my second sermon, I was coming back from preaching, and my dad and all my seniors and ministers in the car, and they didn't say nothing. I drove about 10 miles. How did I do? They said, you did real bad. They proceeded to tell me all the things I should have said that I didn't say. One of them said, you know, you talked about Socrates, you talked about Aristotle, you talked about Plato. You never said a word about Jesus. And if I have anything as a preacher, it's because I have been around folk who challenged me to think. Scripture say we worship God in spirit and in truth. That means you worship him with your heart, but you also worship him with your head. Again, we thank you. May God bless you. Keep blessed to I feel not going on. I like that when we started this. As we stand.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.